Welcome to Cider Chat. In this episode, it's part 7 of the Building a Cidery series with Caitlin Brom of Yonder and The Source. Hello, my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. We'll be getting to our featured conversation with Caitlin, but first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. First up this week, we have an audio snapshot coming in from Alma's Cider Bar in Los Angeles, California.
Hi, Rhea. This is Lee from Alma's Cider and Beer in Los Angeles, California. We had built Alma's over the last few years, expecting to open in March 2020, but of course our plans were changed with the pandemic. Alma's is Los Angeles's only cider bar, and we have a wide variety of ciders from all over the world. Longtime listeners of the show, and in fact, your voice accompanied me all across the globe as I did my cider research in Basque Country and Asturias and Normandy and Frankfurt, Germany, and all over the place. So thank you for your continued hard work, and we hope to be able to pop a cider with you here one day soon.
Thanks, Lee, for taking the time and sending us in this audio snapshot from Los Angeles. It provides us with like real-time info that I just love hearing about. Now, the location for Alma's Cider and Beer Bar is just north of downtown Los Angeles. So that would mean by the Dodger Stadium. So let's say you fly into LAX. It's about a 40-minute drive or so up to Alma's, which is totally worth it because, you know, you're going to land into LAX and the first thing you're going to be thinking is, I need some cider, right? And you could grab to go. Their pickup right now is only on Saturdays, but that shouldn't deter you to like be dreaming about days ahead when they are fully open. And there's a link in the show notes. You could see what the bar looks like. Super inviting. And I looked at some of the ciders that they have on there and I saw that, shoot, they have some Foggy Ridge, Stamen's Wine Sap, and the First Fruit, both of which I've had. They're delicious. And those are kind of coveted because those are the last bottles coming out of Diana Flint's Foggy Ridge based out in Virginia. There's actually quite a few East Coast ciders available at Alma's, which was wild. Also coming in from Estonia, we saw Jani Hansu, their rosé cider. And I had the maker of Jani Hansu on the podcast. Boy, I met Alvar Rosema back in 2016 when I was attending the International Hall of Gala Apples in Asturias. Really nice guy. That's a good episode. That's episode 63. Rather poignant. And he's making phenomenal cider. So they have a nice collection there. And of course, there's going to be some more regional ciders. So keep on rocking. I know that it hasn't been easy that you've been trying to get Alma's up and running, but you're doing it. And I'm really sending you some positive energy to stay tight during this shutdown time until we open again. And then you know it's going to be rocking. I mean, it sure makes the Dodgers look really good, right? Having a cider bar right outside the stadium. Pretty cool. Now, audio snapshots can be sent in by anyone. And what better way to get your voice out to like thousands and thousands of people every month that are downloading episodes of Cider Chat than by sending in your own audio snapshot that you could do right via your smartphone app? They have to be at least 2 minutes or shorter. Send it to me. I'll edit to take out any kind of like ahs or ums and polish it up and then share it with Ciderville. Win-win for everybody. So a big tip of the glass to Lee for having the courage to do that and sharing with us a bit about Alma's Cider and Beer Bar based in Los Angeles, California. Up next, it's the Q&A with Fermentis. And this week, the question is, what yeast should one be using to emphasize different attributes in your cider? Take it away, Kevin.
Hello, my name is Kevin Lane, and I'm the Technical Sales Support Manager for the Americas for Fermentis. The answer to this is actually quite tricky. Again, remember that Fermentis came out with a portfolio of 4 yeast strains so far for the cider production. And each of those was selected for a different reason. So, for example, Saf Cider AB1 is made, it's intended more for a balanced cider with nothing too extreme coming from the yeast. It's going to be fast and clean in fermentation. And if you're planning to kind of highlight the apple character, the flavors from the apple itself, then you don't want yeast or fermentation flavors interfering with that. So the AB1, Saf Cider AB1 in this case would be a great option because it's not going to be producing that much flavor that could interfere with how you perceive the apples. A different Saf Cider strain, Saf Cider AC4, is more or less a crisp flavor. It's going to have a little bit higher acidity to it, which again can kind of manipulate the palate to recognize a really crisp kind of fresh apple character. We have another strain called Saf Cider AS2, which is more or less for a sweet mouthfeel to the cider. So it's going to be filling more or less the mouth to produce kind of a full based cider, not necessarily interacting with the flavor so much, but producing that fullness to the palate. And then the last strain or Saf Cider range is TF6, Saf Cider TF6, and that's going to be producing a really aromatic, really intense fruity character, overall really high aromatic intensity and complexity towards the fresh fruit notes. So really, you know, just between those four, depending on which strain you select, you can either highlight the base apple, the apple that you're fermenting, or you can highlight different attributes to apples to produce a really interesting mouthfeel, flavor, really complexity to the cider that you're fermenting. So I think whenever you're doing any fermentation, whether it's cider or beer or wine or distilled spirits, you know, any fermentation, the yeast strain is going to impact the resulting product in one way or another. So of course, when selecting a yeast strain, you have to keep that in mind and really know what your target is. What are you trying to create in the end? And then going through the literature from producers or through experience and understand that this yeast strain is going to impact the flavor profile this way. This other yeast strain is going to impact the mouthfeel. So just to have your end target in mind, what you want to produce in that cider, and then to go back and select a yeast strain accordingly. And of course, it's going to take trials and some experience to really define that. But I think that's the interesting part about fermentation in general, is that you can change just one small thing, being a yeast strain or an apple variety, and you can create a completely different product.
Well said, Kevin. It is all about trial and experimentation with cider. And in turn, your palate starts to get informed and educated about the different styles that you love and what you want to change a little bit and different attributes you want in that mouth feel and taste. Four different yeast to choose from fermentis.com. Up next is part 7 of the ongoing series, Building a Cidery. In part 1 and 2, we learned about trademark, both what it is and how to secure a trademark. In part 3, we heard from makers fermenting only in oak barrels, and that is Courthouse Creek, based in Virginia. In part 4, it was Steve Garwood at Ragged Hill Cider in West Brookfield, Massachusetts, which, like a Courthouse Creek, is an orchard-based cidery. And in this case, they're using both a stainless and do have a barrel program too. In part 5, it was Soham Bhatt of Artifact Cider Project, with two tasting rooms in Massachusetts. Artifact is a modern cidery, sourcing juice from regional orchards. In part 6, we had Michelle Foyk and Katie Pisa of Aris Brewery and Cider House in Chicago, Illinois. Aris is not only a brewery and a cidery all in one building, but it's also a full-service restaurant with plans in the making for a top-level 200-person event center on site. And this week, we're hearing from Caitlin Brom. She is based in Washington State. She's been involved in craft libations for quite a while. And the Source and Yonder are a collaboration with business partners. So she'll be telling you more about that. And I thought that this is just another interesting model for anyone thinking about commercial cider making to understand what goes into it. So even if you're not thinking about opening up a commercial cidery, you get a feeling of what folks are putting into each and every day to get that liquid into a bottle and then to your glass. There's quite a bit going on here with Caitlin's model. And so we're going to just hand it away to her and grab a glass and join this chat with Caitlin Brom of The Source and Yonder.
Walking through the orchards.
The Source is a B2B business in the cider world. So we're a cidery, but we don't have our own consumer-facing brand. So we're doing premium juice and custom fermentation for other cideries, wineries, breweries. So that's kind of what The Source does. We source the apples from orchards throughout Wenatchee, Washington State, and a little bit more from Oregon these days too, because we got some special stuff from Kevin Zielinski. But we... You know, we press all the apples. We either freeze the juice and store it for clients, or we do single varietal fermentations and store that. And then people can purchase whichever way they want. We also do tankers of juice, depending on how much people need, and ship things all across the country.
I asked Caitlin to explain a bit more on this essentially sonic launch of not one, but two cider businesses as COVID was shutting down the world in 2020. She credits business partner Tim Larson, who, by the way, you can learn a bit more about by going to Season 1, Episode 37 of Cider Chat, when I interviewed Tim when he and his family were pouring cider at the Hardcore Cider Fest in Brooklyn, New York, and Maddie Porter, the creative director of this two-tiered business. Caitlin says when it was time to launch,
we could either put the brakes on and waited for who knows how long, or we could forge forward, and we decided to go forward. I am glad we did. It has not been easy. For everybody that knows me, I am a huge planner, and I had a dream plan. Yonder is my baby, right? This is like, I'm working in the cider industry for 10 years now, and Yonder was mine, and we're finally doing it, right? And I had plans for the big party in Seattle and the media dinner in the orchard. None of it happened. None of it. And so it has been a big lesson for me in rolling with the punches and not trusting that everything will work out, but trusting that if we put enough energy and we put the right amount of energy towards the right amount of things, we can make it work out. So that's what 2020 was for us. We made it. We're still here. And it's been great, honestly.
As bad as COVID was and continues to be, Caitlin notes that there are some upsides of starting a business while the world is shutting down, specifically while working with the TTB, or what is known as the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Trade Bureau, which oversees licensings of cideries.
The agents aren't as busy right now because there aren't as many people starting companies during COVID.
Having TTB agents ready and willing to help, and the fact that
we kind of knew what we were doing. We knew what we needed. We knew what we needed to launch with. We knew how we needed to launch. And so we were able to get up and started a little bit faster than I think sometimes other folks would. We also, for The Source, acquired a lot of the equipment as a whole with some current cider stock. So we were already, once we got the tanks and stuff in place, we were ready to go. And that allowed Yonder to be ready to go pretty quickly as well. Day that we started actually doing production and moving into our facility was July 1. In March is when we like submitted for our TTB, you know? So that's a couple months of that. And then submitting with the Liquor Control Board for both as well. And then that July timeframe is when we were just like waiting for that email and approval. It's a lot of phone calls and a lot of follow-up and a lot of... you know, we spent a lot of time making sure that all of our paperwork was perfect and that there were no questions left unanswered, and it allowed us to move through it pretty quick. So I know that is not the case for everyone. I'm currently in the process of doing it again for a big project we're working on. And it's different this time than it was last time.
What do you mean you're planning on doing this again? Another business?
Yeah, so I'm working on another license right now. We're actually opening a tap room here in Seattle. We are opening it with Bailbreaker Brewing, which is one of the larger breweries out here in Washington State. I've known them for a very long time, and we found a perfect spot in the Ballard Brewery District. And we feel extremely lucky to have a partner like Bale Breaker to do it. It'll be a very large outdoor space. It will be about 6,200 square feet of outdoor space, which is very valuable right now during a COVID era, and inside shared tasting room. In Washington State currently, breweries and cideries cannot share tasting room. However, in June of 2020, a law passed and went into effect in January of this year that allowed distilleries to share their tasting rooms with wineries and breweries. So I started a distillery so that I could share my tasting room with Bale Breaker Brewing. It's been a wild ride, and we'll have a big, beautiful tasting room that we're really excited about and feel very fortunate for under year one. Nothing has been normal. Nothing has been as planned. I have a tasting room in my garage right now, and that is not normal, but it has become a fixture in our neighborhood, and it has helped us out with so much PR and media attention and just building this like groundswell buzz for Yonder that I don't think we could have gotten any other way.
Hmm. Was that difficult getting a license to serve in your garage? And is this a one car or two car garage?
It's a very Seattle garage. I don't even think my actual car would fit into it. But it's a single car garage. The reason we were able to do it is for a couple of reasons. The garage is detached from the house, so there's no access to the residents from the garage. So that's point number one with the liquor control board. The second point was with the city. Our street that we live on in Seattle was shut down as a stay healthy street. And what that means is it's shut down to cars. It's pedestrian only. It's just like delivery vehicles and like people that live on the street can drive down it. But what that did was bring hundreds of people every day to outside of my house. And so we had plans for a full tasting room originally, and we put those on the back burner with COVID and everything. It just didn't make sense. But when they shut the street down, my father-in-law actually made a joke. He was like, oh my gosh, all these people, you should just sell it out of your garage. Well, we took it to a weirdly insane level and got it licensed with the Liquor Control Board and the city. Now we have a little to-go bar. We don't do pints or tasters, but it is four packs and growlers to go. We've been able to introduce people not just to Yonder, but to cider that didn't know about it before and thought they didn't like it. But now there's a cidery down the street in the garage and they're like, why not? We've been able to release single varietal ciders out of there that people, you know, most people never knew what a Roxbury Russet or an Ashmead's Kernel were, but people are coming and buying 64-ounce growlers of it. So it's fun to see. It's fun not only for Yonder, but it's an amazing way to watch people's perception of cider change because you present it to them in a new and different way.
For all you folks out there who follow the cider news around the world closely, you may have heard that the Yonder Bar, as of February 15th, 2021, was forced to close its doors. And it sounded so cute, too, right? I mean, a little tiny tap house with growlers to go and service. But one neighbor had it out for this popular growler to go and tap scene. But despite all that, and as you might be getting a sense of Caitlin as you're listening to this here chat, she knows her way around media hype and can turn around sad news and make it into good news. In that, it keeps a brand in the spotlight. Let's check out what she's doing to manage all that and keep her ducks in a row.
You know, I was president of Seattle Cider Company for some time and then worked at Angry Orchard. And so I do think my background set me up nicely to be able to launch Yonder. I am still learning about launching the source. It is a completely different side of the business than I am used to. I'm very thankful to have Tim Larson as my partner there. And, you know, we use a lot of my connections, not only in the cider world, but like beer and wine. And so we're expanding cider that way throughout the country. But I am learning so much about apples and cider making and things that I knew a little bit about, but feel very fortunate to have Tim on board and him running that entire production facility to do. And so I don't know it all. We're still learning. On the Yonder side, you know, we put projections together prior to COVID and have continued to shift them as we go. But I think we tried to think of everything and we still didn't. I mean, we launched and we didn't think about the cost of moving all the tanks, right? We thought about the cost of the tanks, but not the cost of setting them and moving them necessarily. we had a budget, but it was blown out of the water. So there are things that I would do differently, and I would know now if I did this again.
What else does the future hold for Yonder and The Source?
Currently, we're just in Western Washington. So we're from, you know, Bellingham at the Canadian border down to Olympia, Tacoma. We self-distribute in Wenatchee and Leavenworth. We'd love to expand to the rest of Washington and plan to do that here in the next couple of months. And that will allow us to grow pretty quickly. We've also worked really hard to make sure we're getting into not the chain, like large grocery store chains, but the local chains. And that's been a huge player for us. We watch our numbers, and every time we got into Whole Foods, and then all the Whole Foods picked us up, or PCC. And, you know, we see those jumps and those wins not only are quick wins, but they're long term, and we can continue to work with those partners, those retail partners over time. We'd love to eventually expand down to Oregon and to California, but want to do it in the right way. Currently, you know, half our state can't even get Yonder. And so we want to make sure we're a Washington brand and everybody in Washington can get it first before we expand out further. Our growth numbers continue to change. They change this new tasting room totally flipped all of our numbers on its head, because now, you know, you'll have opening hopefully in June or July, a tasting room full of people that are excited to get back outside and excited to be back in a brewery and cidery space. So they continuously change. And I think that's, you know, the whole, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best scenario is definitely what I recommend to people. When you're looking at raising capital, double it of what you think you need, because there will always be things that pop up. And you want to make sure you're protected, and you want to make sure that you can make the changes you need as you go along without worrying about that too much. There's a lot I've learned about this that I thought I knew that I have definitely been surprised by, but in a personal lesson, it has been that flexibility and knowing that plans will probably change and you can't hold on to them too strong, but you can always find another way. So, you know, part of why Yonder is growing at the rate it is we did have a distributor when we launched. That is not typical. We worked really hard to find a distributor before we launched to get on board with them so that we could hit the ground running and be in as many places as possible. Because having your own sales team is tough in the start. You just can't get everywhere. Mm-hmm. The distributors can. They have their benefits and they have their downfalls, but that was just a choice we made. I'm not a cider maker. I'm also not a designer. And so part of what Yonder, and a big part of what makes Yonder Yonder, are the people. Maddie Porter, who's our creative director, and Tim Larson, our head cider maker and director of production, they're my partners in Yonder. And we built Yonder together. And I think for anyone starting a new cidery or business, it isn't just about the cider. It's about the team you build. It is about the approach you take from a marketing standpoint. And I think the reason Yonder sometimes appear larger than it is to a lot of people, and they're like, how have you only been around for 6 months? Is because of the partners I have on board. And so I think for me, I realized the things I wasn't good at, but I knew if I had great cider and I had great design that we could build something amazing. And like, I am a part of helping, you know, decide which ciders we make and helping blend them and tasting until the final product. And I'm a part of the design process as well, but I could not do this without them. People are always like, you already have a creative director? And I was like, do you know how much, like, we have beautiful photography, beautiful design. It's a really important part of our brand. And having somebody like Tim, who's been doing this forever, we wouldn't be Yonder. Like, I want people to pick up the beautiful packaging, drink it, and have beautiful cider. So they pick it up again for both reasons.
Typically in this series, I'd be asking a lot about the nuts and bolts and the day-to-day operations of the cidery. What worked, what didn't work, and what equipment you do like or don't like. But in this chat, I'm finding that it really has to do a lot with the skill set that Caitlin brings into these operations. And so I ask her, is there anything that really stands out for her in terms of what also allows her to be successful to lead these companies forward?
The marketing PR part definitely does. I've marketed other people's brands my entire career, before I was in cider too. And so my ability to do storytelling and to craft a great message and make it digestible to pretty much anyone, I think is a skill set that I hold high and means a lot to me. And I think has gotten not only me, but some of my clients really far, you know, in the past. So that is a huge skill. Knowing how to pick the right people is number one. And never giving up. I have been told no 1,000 times, 1,000 different ways, and had to change the plans. And there's always a way. It doesn't just appear. You have to find it. And, you know, garage bar, not anything anybody would think of. Starting a distillery to open a tasting room with a brewery, also not, you know, your normal thing. So it's finding the outside the box ideas and being able to put in the energy and the effort and the sleepless nights to see them through. That is part of my personality. And again, the folks that know me, they know that about me. It isn't for the faint of heart. I am very tired. I'm very tired.
Well, I want to stop you there because you're saying sleepless nights. So let's just try to delve in here just a little bit more with understanding of how do you manage the stress of responsibility here, and then also in the wave of COVID. And, you know, now, you know, you're not working for somebody else. You're responsible for other people's health and well-being, right? You know, because there's a job. And what do you do for yourself to either, is there a saying that comes to you, or do you go running for, like, you know, 5 miles a day?
Oh man, I wish. I need to do that. Right. I think the number one thing I do is I'm extremely open with my entire staff and my entire team. They know when I'm stressed, and I am never afraid to, like, ask for that help when I'm seeing myself falling short on something. I'm very communicative with them so that I can have the help I need when I need it. And that's, again, goes back to that building the right team and having the right people. Mm-hmm. I bought an inflatable hot tub. That's kind of fun. I needed a way to get away from my computer and my phone, and that's like an electronics free zone, and I can go outside and get warm and relax with a glass of wine or cider. So I bought an inflatable hot tub, and that's my backyard. Probably not your typical. It arrived and my husband was like, "You didn't." And I was like, "Oh, I did. I totally bought an inflatable hot tub."
Yo, girl.
And it's great. It's amazing. So that's a big part of it. The reaching out to friends, you know, I have a lot of friends in the industry who have helped me along the way, and like Olivia Mackey and Mike Reese from Redfield Cider are two of my best friends, and they just listen to me and let me bounce ideas off of them. And they listen to me rant and give me suggestions, or I run copy by them, and I couldn't do this without people like that. Mm-hmm. So it takes a village. It is never just me. I'm just the one a lot of the times pushing the ship forward and making sure we're looking forward to the next big, beautiful thing.
I hope in this part 7 of the Building the Cidery series with Caitlin Brom of Yonder and The Source, you're getting a sense that it's not always about the equipment. It's not always about having the business plan. It's really, in the end, taking care of yourself, good communication skills, and reaching for the stars and believing. I am all about believing in the people that we surround ourselves in Ciderville, and there's a lot of good folks out there, aren't there? Including some folks who could use a bit of help right now. I had the pleasure in 2016 to meet Nicole and Felix Todd at their site up in Santa Cruz, California, before they moved their tasting room down to Watsonville, just down the road. And over the years, I've been able to build upon this friendship with both Nicole and her sister Natalie. And it's just an amazing group of people. And to note, Nicole recently became a board member of the American Cider Association. What you may not have heard is that Nicole and Felix's home had a house fire last Wednesday. So there's a GoFundMe link to help support them in their time of need. which I know Sartorville is all about, and any little bit will help. I mean, shoot, $10 would help, right? I mean, imagine a house fire and the tizzy that your mind and body must be going through, and just little gifts of kindness like that. It doesn't have to be a $100 or $150. Every little bit helps. So do go to the Cider Chat Facebook page. There's a link there that I'm pinning up to the site, all about the GoFundMe paid for Nicole and Felix. And there'll be a link in the show notes to this here episode 261. And with that, I leave you here. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Cider, we like ponds, we love orchards and having fun. There is a reason,
there is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason
why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum. Ba-da-da-dum.
We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!